Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Come on, he's worthy to be praised. Amen. He's worthy to be praised. Father, we just come before you in the matchless name of Jesus. And Lord, I thank you for the folks that are here in the room, but those that are watching online too. Lord, we just thank you that it's the same Spirit that's here, that's over the airways and wherever they're watching, Lord, over the internet. We just thank you, God, that you're working in them and through them in the name of Jesus. Amen? Amen. I want to tell you that tonight, and I know many of you, this will maybe even be review or whatever, but I want to talk to you about the Holy Spirit in you. The Spirit of God who lives on the inside of you, but specifically being filled with the Spirit. It's one thing to have the Spirit inside of you, and that's good, but it's another thing to be filled with the Spirit. I want to be filled with the Spirit. Jesus said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Rivers of living water. That's what I want. But tonight we're going to talk some specifics about that. So if you go in your Bible, it's really interesting. In John chapter 20, this is where Jesus was raised from the dead and he's about to, ascend and into heaven. But this is kind of the last little bit that he's talking to his disciples. And look at this at verse 19. Then it says, the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, the disciples were assembled for the fear of the Jews. And Jesus came and stood in the midst of them. He said, peace be with you. And when he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. And then his disciples were glad and they saw the Lord. So Jesus said unto them, again, peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. So we're going to look back at a verse a few chapters before in just a minute. But here's Jesus. And just think about this for a minute. We're in this room tonight and the doors are shut. And then all of a sudden we're just sitting around and all of a sudden Jesus just shows up. That'd be pretty cool, right? I mean, it'd be pretty awesome, and that's what happened to them. And the first thing it says, peace, It says, peace. But he had promised them the Holy Spirit. Now, they had no clue what he was talking about. Why? Because that hadn't happened yet. It couldn't happen yet because he hadn't gone to the cross before. In the Old Testament, it talks about the Spirit coming upon somebody. It was usually a priest or a prophet, but it was kind of like an experiential thing where they came upon them, or the word of the Lord came to me saying. But this is different because this is a personal application of the Holy Spirit coming to abide. And the day of Pentecost hadn't happened yet, but Jesus said to them, he said, listen, my peace I leave with you. And then he breathed the Holy Spirit. But go back to chapter 16, and this, the guys don't have this back there because during worship I thought of this. So anyway, in John chapter 16, in verse 7, he says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it's to your advantage that I go away. For I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. And if I depart, I will send him to you. And he was talking about the Holy Spirit. He said, listen, it's to your advantage. Other versions, like the King James says, it's expedient for you. Another translation says, it's better for you that I go away. Think about that for just a minute. You've walked with 3 years with Jesus, and you've seen the dead raised, you've seen the deaf hear, you've seen the blind eyes open, you've seen demons run out of people, you've seen him with his wisdom shut down the most intelligent people of, this is the man that you're walking with, and he comes up to you and he says, it's expedient or it's important. It's to your advantage that I go away. If I was in that room, I would be going, what are you talking about? What in the world are you talking about? I would rather have you here and me be with you than you go away. But that's not what he said. He said it's important for you to go away. And here's the reason that it was important. Because the presence of God that was contained in Jesus at the time, it was contained wherever Jesus was walking on the earth. So if he was in Jerusalem, he had to be in Jerusalem. If he was in, you know, Bethany, you had to be in Bethany. If he was on the Mount of Olives, you had to be at the Mount of Olives. But he says it's important that I go away, because when I go away, I'm going to send to you, the King James says, another comforter. And the word comforter is paraclete, and it means advocate, it means standby, it means intercessor, it means so. But he's not just going to be with you. He's going to live in you. So back in John chapter 20, when he said that he breathed on him, that was a deposit of what was to come. But now go with me to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 4, he says this. He says, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. He was referring back to, I'm going to go away, but I'm going to send you the Comforter. It's expedient that I go away. I'm going to send the Comforter to you. And he said, what you've heard from me, for John truly baptized you with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And I like that. You shall be baptized. I think it's the 24th chapter of Luke. He talks about this whole thing. He says, you're going to be endued with power from on high when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You're going to be clothed with, you're going to be adorned with, you're going to wear the righteousness, the holiness of God when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And here it says you're going to be baptized. And what does it mean to be baptized? It means to be immersed in the Holy Spirit. Listen to this. This is so good. It's so good. And he said, you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, said, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. In other words, he was telling them something. They wanted to get off track, and he brought them right back to the point. And he said, and you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, to be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. You shall receive power. I looked up the word power in different translations and different dictionaries and so on and so forth. The word power, it means miraculous, mighty working power, but it also means supernatural ability. And I think it's in the Amplified, it says power, ability, and efficiency. Now think about this. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you're going to receive this power. And when we think about that, and if you've been around charismatic or Pentecostal circles a long time, they're talking about, oh man, yeah, the power. I'm going to lay hands on the sick. Demons are going to, and all of those things are true. But it also pertains to you're going to have the ability supernaturally to do whatever I've called you to do. You shall receive the ability to fulfill what I've called you to do. And watch this. Why? Because you're going to be a witness to me. Now think about this for just a minute. You're going to be a witness to me. Did you know that God doesn't want secondhand witnesses? He doesn't want hearsay evidence. He wants us, our lives, to be filled with a personal account of how He's changed our lives. And He wants to display Himself. And you think about a witness in a courtroom. They either testify to a truth or they tell of an event. What do I mean by that? You might bring an expert in that says, well, this is what this means. Like you have a handwriting expert. They come in. According to my expertise, I can verify that this person who wrote this wrote that. And they're, by their experience and by their knowledge, they're given a testimony. And others, you know, at the scene of an accident said, well, I was there. I saw it. And this is what I saw. But if you went in there and say, well, you know, I was talking with my brother George, and George was there, and this is what George told me. The judge would say, stop. We don't want hearsay information. We want firsthand information. And so when he says you're going to be filled with the Holy Spirit, he's talking to each one of us. Right? And the reason that he wants each one of us to know that is because he wants each one of us to have personal information. I like that. He wants to use each one of us. And again, sometimes we wait. My spiritual father said it this way. Sometimes we're looking for the spectacular and we miss the supernatural. What do I mean? We're waiting for somebody to get out of a wheelchair. We're waiting for a cancerous growth to fall off. And I'm all for that. But we miss that when we're praying about what we should do, or we're working and administrating something in the office that we're in, and all of a sudden we have wisdom to navigate what we're doing, and it's like, how did I do that? That's the Holy Spirit supernaturally working through you because you received power. But he said, wait in Jerusalem until you receive that. And then let's go to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. And I know this is review for a lot of you, but I don't want you to say, well, I've heard that before. I want the Holy Spirit to just make this so real to us tonight that it just begins to become alive in us again. All right? It says, verse 1, it says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came as a sound from heaven, as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them divided tongues of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Filled with the Spirit, and they began to speak with other tongues. When you get born again, you have the Spirit of God come to live on the inside of you. But there's a subsequent event that can happen to you where you're filled with the Holy Spirit and He gives you a prayer language. And that prayer language is unique. It's powerful. And many of us have received that. I'm going to tell you my testimony in just a minute. But I am convinced that I haven't utilized that gift enough. I am filled with the Holy Spirit. And in a minute, we're going to see how to continue to be filled with the Holy Spirit. But I want to speak to you tonight specifically about speaking in tongues. First of all, I got born again in a house. And in this house, I was with, you know, people, just probably 8 or 9 of us in the house. And anyway, the fellow that was leading the Bible study asked if anyone wanted to get saved. And I said, yes, you know, I mean, I'm boiling this way down. But so I said the sinner's prayer and I gave my heart to Jesus. And then he said, do you want all that God has for you? Well, I came from a group that we didn't take six packs of beer anywhere. We took cases of beer everywhere, right? I mean, that's just the way we roll. So if I had a little of something, I wanted more of something. So I just said, yeah, sure. And so here I am. I knew nothing at all. And the man who led me through the sinner's prayer, he said, well, my wife is better at this. So she started praying for me. And again, I knew nothing about anything, right? And she said, well, lift your hands and just start saying hallelujah. And so I lift my hands, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And she said, well, your tongue is going to get thick and there's going to be syllables come out that is going to sound like baby talk, but just, you know, and I'm just born again. So I was born again 1 minute, 2 minutes later, I'm here, I'm going, and I was filled with the Spirit receiving my prayer language. And that night I went home to my house, and as I'm telling you this, see, while I'm telling you this, this is one of those life events that when you hear it or you know it, if you really reflect upon it, you can go back there and feel the things that you felt and see the things that you saw. And so I went back to my house and I was kneeling on my kitchen floor. It was an old house, and kneeling on the linoleum floor and looking out the window, which faced the east, to a moon that was coming up. For about 40 minutes or 45 minutes, I prayed in the Spirit. And I'm telling you, God just flooded me and flooded that room. But here's the deal. It said that they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance, right? So here's the point, is that they were filled. The Spirit of God gave them utterance, but they spoke. Many times when you're talking to people about receiving their prayer language, they expect the Holy Spirit to come down, and they almost sit stoic like this. If he wants me to speak, he'll make me speak. Well, the Holy Spirit's not a ventriloquist, right? The Holy Spirit will come to you and he'll give you the words, but you have to, by faith, start moving your mouth. You have to do the speaking. So watch this. It's so cool that's what happened to me. Now let's go. We want to look at a couple more instances of this. Go to chapter 10. Chapter 10, Acts chapter 10. And we're going to go to verse 45. And let me just get us caught up so that we're all together. This is the story about how that Peter saw the vision, and he had sheets come down with all kinds of unclean animals. And those that don't know, Jews could only eat certain animals. There was certain criteria in the law, and they couldn't eat other animals. Like, they can't eat pork, they can't eat shellfish and different things. Well, in this vision, here's this sheet coming down, and the sheets are filled with all kinds of animals that aren't clean according to the law. And the Spirit of God told Peter, take this up and eat it. And he goes, not so, Lord. No, I've never done this. I can't do this. I will not violate, you know, what my tradition is. I won't do this. And it happened three times, and the Lord spoke to him, don't you call unclean what I call clean. And so at that same time, Cornelius, who was a Gentile, he was praying, because he was seeking God and praying, and God visited him. And then God brought them together. Through the vision, he sent to Peter. Peter came to his house, and Peter's preaching the gospel to him. Peter is preaching the gospel to him. And look at this. We're going to pick it up in verse 4. And while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. And those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, because as many came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. In other words, the thing that Jesus first breathed onto him, and then he said, wait in Jerusalem till it happens. And then when it happened in, you know, the day of Pentecost, he said that here's Jews who had been filled with the Spirit, that experienced some of this stuff, and Peter preached to these Gentiles, and all of a sudden their mouths went open. Why? Because they saw the Holy Spirit falling upon Gentiles. People who were outside of the covenant of God. Outside of that. They were astonished because, and watch how they knew that. Verse 46, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Isn't that something? So here's the Gentiles. All of a sudden, they get filled with the Spirit, and they begin to speak in languages that they don't know. Right? And it astonished them. And so being filled with the Spirit and speaking in tongues goes hand in hand. And watch this. Again, if that's a gift to us, and it is, and we'll explain it further in a minute. If it is a gift to us, then why don't we do it more? Why don't we use it more? And I'll tell you the advantages to it in just a minute. But I received, and many in this room, and maybe some watching online, there was a point where you received your prayer language. Remember that. Think about that for a minute and go, wait a minute. If I receive that, why aren't I using that? And we'll discuss why it's important for us to do that. But let's look at one more instant, and then we'll get into that. But go to chapter 19. Chapter 19. And I want you to see this to the sequence of this. We're going to actually start in verse 4. It said, then Paul said, John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. And when they heard this, they were baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. They were immersed into the name of the Lord Jesus. In other words, they got saved. Right? But look at verse 6. And after that, and when Paul laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. They spoke in tongues and prophesied. And this doesn't mean that they necessarily were prophesying from the standpoint that they were going, in 1924, this is going to happen on this date. That's not the prophecy. It's entire inspired speech. In other words, all of a sudden they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And not only were they speaking in tongues, but God gave them words in their own language to be able to speak. And back in chapter 10, it said they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, began to prophesy, and they began to magnify God. So they were praying in tongues, magnifying God. How did they know that? Because I believe that some of them knew the languages that they were speaking, but others knew the experience of magnifying God in the Spirit with your prayer language. Really awesome. But go with me now to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Hallelujah. And just hold your place there, and we don't have to put this up on, but I want to go to chapter 13 for just a minute, and verse 1. It says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And this is in reference to what our motivation is for doing anything, right? But he says, even though I speak of the tongues of men and angels, he was referring to speaking in tongues, speaking of the Holy Spirit. Even though I speak of a language that's known to somebody else, or I'm speaking in a heavenly language. So tongues oftentimes, watch this, tongues oftentimes can be either a language that you know, or it can be an angelic language. We're going to see in a minute. We may not understand what's going on, but the Holy Spirit is speaking through us, and there's power that comes with it. Okay, now go to chapter 14 and verse 1. He says, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. That's kind of interesting. Pursue love, I mean, because love's the greatest, right? And desire spiritual gifts. And he'd just gone through a couple of chapters before talking about the word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discerning of spirits, gifts of healings, working of miracles, tongues, interpretations of tongues, prophecy. He'd gone through all of those. And then he talked even about the gifts like apostle, prophet, evangelist, gift of giving, all of those things. He said, pursue spiritual gifts. Pursue love. And then desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. What's he talking about? Here's what I think he's talking about. I would want you to be assured that you have confidence that when the Holy Spirit came upon you, that he gave you the ability to speak on his behalf. Again, in 2 Corinthians, it says that we have become ambassadors for Christ. What does that mean? That we are in a different location from the home base. The home base is up in heaven. But while we're here on earth, we can speak for and with the authority of the governing power, which is the King of the universe, right? Our Father who's in heaven, plus the Lord Jesus Christ. Now watch again. He says, I wish that you would all prophesy. And he's going to explain why in a few minutes. But tonight we're speaking about the Holy Spirit. And we're speaking about the power that comes upon us when we're filled with the Holy Spirit. And the overflow of being filled with the Holy Spirit when he gives us our prayer language. I was filled with the Spirit. Pray in another tongue. Really, really cool. But watch this now. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him. However, in the spirit, he speaks mysteries. The word mysteries is kind of blind to us, but it just means he speaks things that were hidden that are now revealed. In other words, when we're praying in the Spirit, we're praying to God. And God understands us. And God is inspiring those prayers, but it's also birthing something inside of us. And I can tell you from experiences, there have been times where I've spent a little bit of time praying in the Holy Ghost, and my mind, as we're going to see in a minute, was just unfruitful. I didn't know what I was praying for. But in that prayer, right, in that time of prayer, things became clear to me. I began to be able to see things. Let me give you one example. This was years ago. A friend of mine, dad was having an operation, and I said I'd pray for him. And I was kneeling by my bed and praying. I'd been praying for 40 minutes in the Spirit. Because I prayed for him in English and prayed all that I knew in English. But then it didn't seem like that was enough. So I just started praying, and the Holy Spirit helped me to pray. So by faith, for 40 minutes or so, I started praying in the Spirit. And all of a sudden, I got this feeling of heaviness and a pain right back here. Just a pain in my head right back here. And I knew it wasn't my headache. But as I was praying that through, I knew exactly that is exactly where the aneurysm was in the person that I was praying for. And then it was intense for a little while. I was still praying in the Holy Ghost. But then all of a sudden it lifted. And I knew he was going to be okay. And so the next day I was talking with my friend, and the operation was great. Everything went well. It was, you know, everything was cool. And I said, let me tell you where the aneurysm was. It was right here. How'd you know? I've been praying in the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Spirit knew exactly what was going on. And I wasn't praying, watch this, I wasn't praying for anybody else to know, but I was praying to God. But I was praying, and things that were secret were now revealed to me, right? Watch this. Now, the next verse, it says, but he who prophesies speaks edification, exhortation, and comfort to men. But he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. Why do I need to pray in tongues? Because when I pray in tongues, it builds me up spiritually. Edify, I heard somebody say that it's like it charges your battery. And again, the cool thing about a battery is a battery can store power, and you may not need to call upon that power for a long time, but when you come to need it, it's there. In the natural, just an example, right now we all drove here, right? And right now our cars are sitting out in the parking lot, and the batteries, because while you were driving over here, the alternator was going and it was putting power back into the battery so that your battery would be fully charged. So when you leave here tonight and you go out, that battery is going to be completely charged. And you're going to turn the key on and the engine is going to go vroom. Why? Because the power has been stored in the battery. So again, he who speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself. How many have ever felt like you needed more of God, or you needed to be built up? You just, you know, Lord, I don't know what to do. I feel weak. I feel, listen, we need to charge the battery. Yeah, but I pray in tongues. I don't know if I'm doing any good. By faith, he said, when you pray in tongues, you build yourself up. In Jude, it says it this way, building yourself up upon your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. So when you're praying in the Holy Ghost, you are building yourself up, and you're building yourself up for purpose, praying in the Holy Ghost. Another story, a man that I've followed, he was talking about how that, you know, he got filled with the Holy Ghost. He began to operate in some of these things. He was called of God to do certain things, but he lived in Texas, and he happened to have a drive from Dallas to South Texas and back to Dallas in one day. And he just decided, I'm going to get in the car and I'm going to pray the whole way in the Spirit. Well, I mean, that was like 8 hours worth of praying in the Holy Ghost, praying in tongues. Nobody in the car with him, nothing. He said, the only thing I felt that whole time was my throat began to get sore from all of that speaking. Right? So while he was praying in tongues, nothing seemed to be happening. But just so happened that evening he was going over to a Bible study. And when he got to the Bible study, the man who was leading the Bible said, hey, I feel like you've got something. He felt nothing. But as he started to open his mouth, he had words of knowledge, words, you know, prophecy, and many things that came out supernaturally that were for people in that Bible study, and they were blessed. There was a correlation between the time when he was praying in the Holy Ghost, praying in the Spirit, then he was charging his battery up, but when it was needed, when there was a need for that charge, it was available to him because he'd spent time praying in the Holy Ghost. So if we've been filled with the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit of God's dwelling in us, and he's given us this tool to pray through, we need to begin to use it. And if you haven't been filled with the Spirit, if you've never received your prayer language, it's available. All we have to do is by faith trust that God wants to give it to us. It's a gift. We don't have to earn it. We don't have to work for it. We don't have to, you know, build ourselves up for it. We just have to receive it by faith and say, Lord, I believe you want to fill me with the Spirit. So I'm asking you to fill me with the Spirit. I receive that right now in the name of Jesus. And then by faith start speaking and he'll fill you and your tongue will come forth. Amen. 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 It's so wonderful. It's so wonderful. So if you want to build yourself up, especially those who are filled with the Spirit, you've received your prayer language. You don't have to wait for church. You can do it on the ride home in your car. It's just so wonderful. Wonderful. I can't tell you how many times I haven't known what to do. And sometimes when I'm praying, I run out of English pretty fast, right? But then I'll kick over and I'll just start praying in the Holy Ghost. Not knowing, but just praying in the Holy Ghost. And the Lord will begin to quicken things to me. And there, I'll just know that I know in my spirit when things are done, right? But it's praying in the Holy Ghost. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Let's look down at verse 14. Chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians in the 14th verse, it says, I will pray in a tongue, for if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, my understanding is unfruitful. So when you're praying in the spirit, you're not really praying out of your mind. But you're praying out of your spirit, out of the core of who you are. And that's where the Holy Spirit dwells. He dwells in your spirit. So when you've received your prayer language and you're praying, it's your spirit that's praying. And then he goes on to say in verse 15, he says, what's the conclusion then? I will pray with the Spirit and I will pray with understanding. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will also sing with my understanding. I don't know if you've ever been in a meeting where the Holy Spirit falls in worship, and then there's a crescendo in the Spirit where people are singing in the Spirit. And it seemed to me that went on a lot more years and years ago than it does now. But I'll just tell you of this meeting that I used to attend the Full Gospel Businessmen's meeting in downtown Seattle, and it was in a ballroom of one of the big hotels down. And there was probably, you know, several hundred people there, probably closer to 800 or 900 people there. But anyway, we're all there, and all of a sudden, you know, the guy who's leading worship isn't very good at it. And there's no band. We're singing a cappella, but then we start singing in the Spirit. And what I mean by speaking in the Spirit is we're singing in our prayer language. And so you have all these people who don't know each other. But all of a sudden they begin to sing. And there's this sound that comes out of there that is so harmonious and so, and it feels sometimes like the angels are involved in that. So he says, I'll pray with my Spirit, but I'll sing with my spirit. And I've known personally in times of ministry and ministering to people where I'll feel impressed to sing over them. And sometimes I'll do it in English, but there have been times where I've sung over them in the spirit. Now, it doesn't make any sense to me. I don't understand it, but I don't have to understand it. Because the Spirit of God knows what's needed for that particular job. So I'll be singing in the Spirit over them and oppression will lift or something will come to them because the Spirit of God is working through me. Why am I saying all this tonight? Because I want to encourage all of us that are here watching that we begin to activate ourselves in our prayer life again, praying in the Spirit. If the Holy Spirit has been given to us and He has. And if He's baptized us with the Spirit and we've received a gift from Him of a prayer language, why aren't we using it? And our prayer language is not just for Sunday. It's for Monday. There's times where I'll wake up in the middle of the night or something and somebody will be on my mind and I don't know what to pray for them for because I don't know. But the Spirit knows. In fact, go to Romans chapter 8. I didn't put this in the notes either. But Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, and I believe it's verse 26. Listen to this verbiage and listen to this. It says, likewise, the Spirit also helps our weakness. For we do not know how to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us through groanings which cannot be uttered. There's a place in prayer, especially when you're praying and you're in intercession, you've been at it for a while, where there's just a deep groaning that goes on. And sometimes the Lord will have you experience, like I was telling you, that aneurysm. I felt the pain of it. Sometimes it'll become a knowing, but you'll stay with that in the Spirit until it lifts, and then you know that you have the victory. But look at this. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our weakness or our inabilities. Have you ever prayed for somebody and you go, I really don't know how to pray for them? And so we end up just going, bless them or help them, or, you know, we pray what we know, but we really don't know the root of the problem. But the Holy Spirit does. I said the Holy Spirit does. And so we can kick it. Holy Spirit, I know that You're within me and that I'm filled with Your Spirit. When I pray in the Spirit, my understanding is unfruitful, but I know that You're praying through me the mysteries of God. And I like this. It says, likewise, the Spirit also helps our weaknesses. Helps, that word helps there, and weaknesses together. It's like, I'm not a Greek scholar, but I read, it means that the Holy Spirit stands together with us against what we're fighting for, against. And the best way that I can describe that is like a tug of war. You know, in the old tug of war games, we got the puddle in the middle and you got this side and that side, and you got the little flag there, and you don't want to get muddy, so you're pulling with all your might so that the other team goes in, right? And you're pretty evenly matched. Until you see Bubba come. Bubba's this 300-pound Samoan guy who is just full of muscle. And Bubba goes to the other end of the line and he pulls you right in, right? So what did Bubba do? Bubba got on the line and he pulled together with the people that were pulling against the people on the other team. So the Holy Spirit, when we don't know how to pray, and it seems like, Lord, I just don't know what to say, whatever. If we'll pray in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit will grab a hold with us. And He'll pull with us against or for, you know, whatever the situation deems necessary for that particular person or that situation. It's like, I don't know how to pray, Lord, so I'm just going to pray in tongues. So again, praying in tongues, it builds us up spiritually. Lord, I don't have to feel anything, but I know that when I pray in tongues, that You're praying through me. Holy Spirit, You've come to me to show me things to come. And praying in the Spirit, again, for me personally, the more I pray in the Spirit, it seems to me, the more God uses me in the gifts of the Spirit. And what I say to that, it's almost like this praying in the Spirit and doing a lot of it opens me up to hear the voice of God more, and the gifts of the Spirit just operate more easily and naturally. I want to be filled with the Spirit. And again, Why do I want to be filled with the Spirit? Why do I want to pray in the Spirit? Why do I want to do all of that? It goes back to, I want to be that person that has a personal experience with God, that I can display that as a witness to somebody else from firsthand information. Right? I want people to know God through me. I've been in many prayer meetings where the Spirit of God just begins to take over. And if you don't understand what's going on, it can be confusing. But with people that know what, you know the Spirit, and it's a powerful, powerful thing. Years ago, and I got to close, but years ago, I was in Mission Viejo, California. This was in, the mid-80s. And I think it was Tuesday morning, me and these two ladies would get together and pray. And we'd just pray in the Spirit, but we'd get after it. But there were powerful things done in that meeting that were just incredible. And it wasn't a lot of us, but a few of us that knew what we were doing. In fact, you've all heard of Azusa Street and the outpouring at Azusa Street. Well, Frank Bartleman is a man who was before, during, and after Azusa Street, but they used to get together because that's when the Holy Ghost was poured out and started in Kansas, went to Texas, went to Los Angeles, and now it's gone throughout the world. But they used to have meetings of nothing but praying in the Holy Ghost, and they'd go to each other's houses and pray from 10 in the morning to 10 at night, praying for God's moving. And Azusa Street happened out of that kind of prayer. And so what am I saying? At this time, if we really want revival, we have to believe God for it. But I also believe we need to tell our flesh to shut up and just begin to pray in the Spirit more and more and more and more and more. I've been filled with the Spirit. I received the Holy Spirit when I received Jesus. But right after that, I received my prayer language, and I've been speaking in tongues ever since. And it's been a big blessing to me. But there's no blessing that God gives to me that's supposed to stay with me. The blessing that God gives to me is supposed to go through me to touch somebody else. Amen? Amen. Did y'all get something tonight? I feel like I've just introduced it, and maybe I'll pick it up here next week. But pray in the Holy Ghost. And tonight, if you're watching online, if you've never received the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, or you're here in the room and you want to do that, or maybe you just need to be reignited in it, we're going to do that right now. So all of you that are watching online, if Jesus is the Lord of your life, if not, just ask Him to become the Lord of your life. Just say, Father, I need a Savior. Jesus, I believe that You died for my sins. I want to lay my life down so that You can live through me and for me. I just make You the Lord of my life. And right now, Lord, I want all that You have for me. I want everything that You have for me. Jesus said that I could receive the Holy Spirit. And He said that if I, being evil, knew how to give good gifts to my children, how much more would the Father give the Holy Spirit to all of those who ask? So if you ask Him, He'll give it to you. But wherever you are, if you're watching online and you're at this point of the service, just close your eyes and say, Lord, I just want it. And just say, Father, I just praise You. And I worship You. And right now, I receive my prayer language. Ora tebe fesubite daleto furatama. Just go ahead and speak it out. Your voice. It's going to be your voice. It's going to be your air. It's going to be your tongue moving. But the words are going to come from the Holy Spirit. Just begin to speak it out. Shondarete bo furote besako torotoma. And you may just get a few syllables, and it may not be a full like I was just speaking, but the Bible says they heard them speak with other tongues and magnify God. You might be saying in a different language of heaven or some other language. You might be saying, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Shondoro, sandoro, sotoro, so he's good, he's awesome. So don't ever think that the syllables that he gives you is not enough. Just begin to use them and pray over and over and over again. And just like I did, go home, go to your prayer closet, and just begin to pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit, because you're praying out the very mysteries of God. God is beginning to reveal himself to you. You're charging up your battery. In Jesus' name. Thank you for joining us. God bless you. Amen.